And we're back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 353. So this is not a Wednesday Top G's. That's going to be at 8 PST with Professor Savage Dad, where we are going to be reviewing Nick Phoenix's comic book, Screecher Number 1. And if I hate this book, I'm going to make a new show called MSK Cast and trash him for 8 hours on end. And then I'm going after Jared. And then I'm going after everybody else, you know, because I just love creating drama. But no, seriously.
Well, thankfully, Jared is creating his own comic book, so you'll have plenty of opportunity to trash all of his writings here.
And the only reason why I'm going to trash him is because he said he likes Zack Snyder. That's the only reason why. Any of his actual opinions, not going to tackle those. Like, he likes another director I don't particularly care for, going after him. And Nick,
fault you have no taste in comic book directors, MSK.
Hey.
Speaking of Zack Snyder, did you see he was on Joe Rogan?
I watched the whole thing. It was really good.
Of course you did. Of course you did, brother.
I hope what I saw, I'll just watch the whole thing and put it better in context for myself.
He was taken out of context yet again.
Well, when that moment when Zack said, it's Marvin time was his favorite moment of last year.
Yeah, I know.
I jumped out of my seat.
Well, as you guys know, we're going to talk about some things here. We've been trying to do this for a long time, but, you know, Jared's ducking and dodging me all the time. He said, I'm going to start dating black girls, and I'm going to stop doing comic books.
I have a busy schedule, a-hole.
For some reason, Jared just hates doing streams with me. He hates me.
Yeah.
He hates doing streams so much with me. We're recording 4 times a week.
Yeah, he hates talking to me. He was like, I'm going to go be a hood guy outside of Walmart. I'm going to start doing the gang stuff.
Don't you know?
You do that,
I mean, we all know Jared hates white dudes, which is why he's been refusing to talk to you.
Right? And then we also get his favorite character is Squirrel Girl. You know, it's been confirmed. I heard through the grapevine. That's your favorite character.
Why did I show up today?
It's because you love owl related superheroes.
Oh, Lord.
I'm starting to rethink that.
Well, as you guys know, the newest Punisher series from Marvel is getting canceled. No shit, because no one wants to watch it. Who wants to read, like, imitation Punisher that's not Frank
it's
Castle?
It's literally that. They literally took the Frank Castle story and just put it on some other dude. And I'm like, you suck, a-hole.
Oh, shit. You know what else happened, dude? I typed, because I held a lore, posted a screenshot of him blocked, and I typed his name up into my Twitter search bar. I'm blocked, too. I have never interacted with that guy.
With who?
You might be blocked from him too. I have never talked to this
Hail
guy.
The Lord.
I'm good friends with him. He's a good guy. I don't know what the issue is.
No, he posted that Hail was blocked by the Punisher writer for Marvel Comics' newest Punisher run, and I was like,
oh good.
Why are me and Hail both Dude, blocked? I have well, never talked okay, to that I, guy. I,
let me tell you what it probably is. A lot of these people, most notoriously Dan Slott, use block bots. And so if you follow, you like, you basically sneeze in the direction of somebody who's bad, you know, you basically get added to the block bot, and that's how it happens.
That's so what happened
MSK,
to me.
Do me a favor. Are you blocked by Dan Slott?
No.
Check real quick. Check over.
Okay.
I'm blocked by Tom Taylor.
Even though you, wait, I'm...
No way!
You're blocked by Dan Slott?
No, Tom Taylor.
No, let me check right now. You said Dan Slott? I remember the last time I shitted on that guy. Oh my god, he might have wrote the worst tweet of last year. And that's saying a lot. We had a lot.
I mean, it's Dan Slott.
I had my own Twitter interaction where he said, I'm okay with like... I'm okay with Peter B. Parker being married with Mary Jane, but 616 Peter, I think, is fine being married. And I'm like, you know, in the movie, he's identified as 616 Peter.
To be fair, we're talking about Peter B. Parker.
Yeah,
because I think Peter A. Parker was supposed to be the Raimi Spider-Man. They took a lot of his moments.
I'm watching this and I'm like, this is one of your stories. You should know this.
You literally wrote the story, bro.
The stuff that he said in his Twitter feed, you know how people do that, like that long post thread to like do one
oh,
of
God,
eight, one
yeah.
Of, that was the worst thing I've ever read on Twitter last year. I was like, bro.
And this guy wrote Spider Island.
The only thing I've ever liked he's ever wrote was Superior Spider-Man. Yeah, that's the only thing I've ever liked that he's wrote. Everything else, I don't really know what else he's done, but I read that. I was like, oh, this is not that bad.
He did Iron Man 2020. He did...
did do that.
Yeah. He did it so well, they made a documentary about it that was taken off of Disney Plus.
Holy shit.
Where it made him look like an idiot because apparently he's known as the guy that can't do deadlines, so they have to bring in a bunch of fill-in people.
So you're saying they can't slot in Dan Slott?
No, definitely not. I remember his tweet being the dumbest shit ever. He's like, well, if you don't like this and blah, 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 then maybe, what the fuck?
If you don't like my comics, don't read my book.
Dude, it was literally just a variation of that. And it was like, well, if you don't like it, then maybe you go make your own story. Well,
apparently Dan's living under a rock. Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Well, here's the thing. According to comic book fans, they don't want that either because it's canceled after like 4 issues.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile they do Ultimate Spider-Man where they actually have to be a family man. And what printing is it on now?
Issue number one is like $100.
Yeah, you'd have to get like the reprint of issue one. Did you have it on your pull list? I had it on my pull list. I knew it was gonna be a hit, so I have it now.
I'm just gonna grab like a variant of issue one so I can have it. But
the cheapest one is like $20. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. It's not like a lot of the variant covers. But yeah, so it's on my list now.
Like,
I'm probably going to wait until the first trade comes out, then I'm going to grab that.
Okay. I remember when Marvel had the announcement. I remember, because you know, like, tweets can be, like, really divisive.
Yeah.
It was so overwhelmingly positive. I was like, okay, I'll add this. And then I bought it the day of, and then I read it, and I was like, well, there are some issues there, but overall, it's pretty solid. It's basically like Superman and Lois. That's essentially what it is, you know.
Essentially, yeah.
Oh! You have triggered Jared.
No, I thought like movie and TV Lois.
Yeah, it's literally basically Superman and Lois. But I took
people. Oh, you mean the best Superman comic couple ever?
Good Lord, we're not doing that today. You're not doing this, Nick. Black Cat belongs to Spider-Man. Lois is
the best comic character ever.
I'm just saying.
Dot dot dot. That needs to be thrown into a wood chipper.
No. Dot dot dot. She is the best character ever.
All right. Why do we have this guy here today?
I'm just trying to piss Jared off. I'm just trying to.
My God. It's just like,
I've seen really stupid people on Twitter today. So
how did you get blocked by Tom Taylor? The guy like,
because I'm followed by EVS. That's why.
Oh, wow. Do you block by Tom King?
No, which is funny because I talk about that guy a lot on Twitter. Like when he had, so what he did in Wonder Woman is egregious. So, MSK, you've heard of the George Perez run for Wonder Woman, correct?
Sadly.
And you've heard you've heard of the contest. You know the premise of Wonder Woman. There's a contest to decide who's going to be like the representative. Yeah. He retcons it that at one point Wonder Woman punched her mother in the face.
What is with this guy? He just can't help
himself. He has mommy issues that he's working through. That's probably what it is. And you know, because this is what he does. He turns heroes into violent sociopaths.
Oh, wait. I thought we were talking about Mark Millar here for a moment.
No. Mark Millar actually has a purpose. Tom Taylor.
He has a purpose for turning his heroes into violent psychopaths.
Yeah, Tom King basically uses the superheroes as his own therapy. Which I'm sick of.
I mean, to be fair, that's a lot of modern comic book writers.
He just does that. He's such an odd dude. Like, Jared will be shitting on this guy on Twitter. And Tom King's like, all right, it's cool to have this guy around. What the? This guy is a freak, man. He can't help himself. He just does. Why?
And he's involved in the DCU. You wonder why I'm not overly optimistic. He's right. He's one of the writers on Lanterns.
Not just him. Christina Hodson. Imagine your writing team, Tom King and Christina Hodson. Nick, great
she wrote Flash song. And Birds of Prey.
Quite the definition of failing upwards.
That's immediately where I'm like, people wonder, Jared, why are you so suspicious about the DCU? Have you seen the writing team?
See, there are some writers that like I have like disagree with that I'll even admit once did good work and sometimes still like Gail Simone. I heavily disagree with her politics. But she used to be a really good writer. And from what I understand, she still sometimes writes really good stuff. But she was used to be an amazing writer. And she's, I think, probably still has that talent.
But it's she got Marvel pilled, actually.
What probably happened is she met Bendis.
Oh, good God. Lord.
That dude.
Like, I don't get why Marvel thought it was a good idea to try to sell Punisher that's not the Punisher.
They thought the skull got adopted by cops in the military. That's what happened.
What they thought they could do, and it's kind of funny if you look at the newer Punisher skull that they gave fake Frank, essentially, it's the same skull. So it's because remember, this is coming from a company that believes that from a group of people that believes that if you put Star Wars or Marvel in front of it, people will show up. If you put the Punisher skull on anyone, people will show up.
Turns out fans are a lot smarter than that. The book got
turns out it's not who you are underneath, it's what you do that defines you.
I told people this before. There are people that know what's going on, they're just choosing not to buy it. Like, you know, we're more than known now than we were before because, like, you know, in how the internet's evolved, YouTube, social media's evolved. Like, there are parents out there that know, or like people that have been fans of material that know what's going on. They're like, why would I? People don't spend money on comic books for the most part because, you know, times are tough right now. And if that's your entertainment and you like the Punisher, why the fuck would you buy that? What purpose does that exist
for? I mean, this has been happening for 10 years. Like, I think Marvel, they had, like, the greatest marketing opportunity in, like, the history of the universe with the MCU. They squandered it with in the late 2010s when they were at the height of their popularity and they did all new, all different. It's like you had, I remember hearing stories about this. You had a young girl, you know, come and it's like, I want to read about Bruce Banner, the Hulk. I'm like, oh no, Bruce Banner is the Hulk. We got Amadeus Cho, the totally awesome Hulk. No, I want to read about Tony Stark, Iron Man. Oh, Tony isn't Iron Man. We have this young girl, Riri Williams. You're a young girl. You like that. You know, it's like, and then they walk out and they never come back.
Or it's like, hey, I want to read a Thor comic. Who's this chick?
Yeah, that was around the time of the Jason Aaron run where they introduced Jane Foster as
where Thor. He changed lore and made it so, oh no, Thor's the mantle. Says who?
Like, literally, if they would have just, like, mild Morales Jane Foster and made her, like, another Thor-like character or even just gave her her own identity, I guarantee you people wouldn't be as mad.
That's what they did in the Avengers game, by the way. The Jane Foster that you could play as in that game is from an alternate universe where she became Thor.
Okay.
Better, but it's still stupid as hell.
Well, my thing here, dude, is, like I said before, I said the same thing on here too of many of those shows. Marvel at the perfect time to make, you know, people's real biggest issue is like there's no synergy between like animation, TV, movies, and the stuff. They had a perfect opportunity to synergize everything. And we know if you had did like Iron Man, Captain America, Thor comics after the Avengers, they would sell. We know they would sell. They just didn't do it. They had a perfect chance to do it. Well,
the problem is they had a perfect opportunity to create a movie cinematic universe in 2018 when Spider-Man dropped. Like, for example, like there's a line in Spider-Man when you take a picture of the tower, it's like, oh yeah, they're in San Francisco. Like, if they would have had the Square Enix Avengers game, well, there's lots of problems with it, but story-wise, if they would have had it tie-in with Spider-Man, like, make it part of that universe, like, I guarantee you it would have been a lot better.
Some people would have bought the game who wouldn't, because they're like, oh, what's going on with the Avengers? That is really cool.
Like, I think a movie universe could have worked.
The other thing is, here's why they don't do synergy, MSK. It's because that editorial doesn't know how to tell writers no. Because the writer will show up and go, well, I don't want to write that. Or it's like, in DC, during the new 52, you had a lot of characters being written off script the way they were supposed to be in this new rebooted continuity because the writers were like, well, I don't want to write that. You're writing for DC, dude.
Well, also the problem is there's like it's not just that. And kind of goes to the point. It's like you need the reason why the MCU worked is because of Kevin Feige. Is you had this one person with a vision telling everyone what to do, and yes, that caused conflicts. Like Edgar Wright was supposed to do Ant-Man, and then because of conflicts he left, and they happen with a lot of different directors. And you could say Marvel suffered for it, but the reason it's successful is because he had one man steering the ship, calling the shots.
Yeah.
Basically, the MCU was run like a television show, where the direct because at TV shows, directors aren't the head honchos. It's the showrunner, the executive producer. Kevin Feige was the showrunner of the MCU, and it was the better for it.
Oh, and the other thing is, I think the higher ups know, like, comics have always been very jank in terms of, like, making money. They, like, pure factor, you could make more money selling Spider-Man lunchboxes, probably, than you could actually sell Spider-Man comic books. That's pretty sad when you think about it, right? You could sell more Spider-Man t-shirts, mugs, anything, honestly.
Well, I think the problem is comics were selling a lot when they were on newsstands. And when you took them out of, like, the drugstores mm-hmm. and put them into the specialty shops, like, that might have been fine, like, a good solution at the time. You know, like, I don't pretend to be an expert of the comic book business of, like, the late 70s, early 80s. For what I understand, that was probably the best move at the time. But the problem is, it killed the growth of the comic book industry, because it took...
Yeah, the visibility would kill it.
Visibility killed it, and you made comic books a very insular business, and that's continued to this day, and it's basically killed a lot of the discoverability, because most people's introduction to these heroes is the expanded movie. Like
we talked about it a lot last night, that most
people think of
movies, they're thinking about the shit they've watched from the super movies, the way they think about X-Men, Blade.
Jared, let me ask you a question. What was your first introduction to Batman?
Batman Begins.
No way. Okay, you watched the animated series growing up?
What?
No, he said Batman Begins, the movie.
No, I was like, you didn't grow up with the Batman the animated series? That's crazy.
No, MSK. He's younger than us. He's not dinosaurs like
us. He's like a baby compared to us, actually. Yeah.
but still that proves our point, though. It still proves a point.
Yeah, like, yeah. I was
introduced to BTS. Like, Jared's introduction was a movie. It was not the comics. It was a movie, a good movie, mind you.
It was a great movie, yeah.
My introduction to Superman as a character, understanding the character, because I was aware of him, because, again, I watched the Christopher Reeve, but the movie that made me a fan of him was Man of Steel.
So was your second... Did you ever watch, like, animated movies in between that?
I did, but when I was a kid, it was more like I was watching it because, oh, look, it's superheroes fighting. But when
to
I
be fair,
understood...
Superman is a character that most people know of, at least through cultural osmosis. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah, a little bit. But
like, everyone in America at least knows who Superman is.
But I will say, what made me know the Justice League, that was the Justice League cartoon. That was when I finally was like, because I remember vividly, because at the time I didn't know who, like, anyone beyond Batman and Superman was. I didn't know Wonder Woman or The Flash or anything like that, because again, I'd only watched those movies. So then when like Green Lantern and Hawkgirl are like fighting, I'm like, who the hell are you people?
I legit thought Green Lantern was black. I thought that was the first
me too until I saw, like, it was in the Green Lantern movie. Wait,
that they race swapped him? Turns out, no, it's not true. They actually did it the other way.
I mean, it's not really a race swap.
Because they gave him another.
I legit thought they they swapped out the black man.
That just proves the point, though, is for the last 30 years, comic books have had a discoverability problem, and it's been really, really hurting them. It's the reason, the desire for comic book style stories has not gone away. Like, the people of our generation, of the younger generations, like the Gen Zs and Gen Alphas, they read manga. So, like, they still like comic books. They still desire that style of storytelling.
Yeah.
It's just manga is what they go to fill the void.
This is what I've mentioned a while ago, which is, I think what you said there is key, right? I think people are, like, not really ever thinking about this stuff because they like to kind of think in this one abstract way. If you're a parent and you give your kids allowance, right? Let's say you give them, like, $20.
Yeah.
Your kid's like, okay, I can spend money on this floppy, which is like $6.99, maybe like 24 pages. Or you tell your kid, wait a minute, you can spend like $10, a little more, 160-page manga.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, what's better for
you? And this is a conflict I have with a lot of our fellow indies. Because a lot of people in the indie space have like this mindset of quality, quality, quality. I don't care if it's $20, $30. for a glorified floppy. Quality, 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 quality.
My quality.
And they wonder why manga is kicking their butt. You know, if I could, I would sell my comics for like $3 or $4.
It's good. And then I'll take them and shove them in my ass and I'll shit on them. Mm-hmm. Keep doing that.
Well, the other thing, the other thing, and this was something DC started to do, but it's like at the end of like their movies, before the post-credit scene plays, because they know people are going to stay, I've always said they should have like a graphic that comes up with the with a comic inspiration for the movie and say, hey, if you want to read what inspired the movie, find your local comic book store, or it could have like a link or a QR code that takes you to like a locator where you can find your local comic book store.
Mm. So like, I always identified it to like three things: visibility, continuity. Mm-hmm. And there's a third one. Fuck. Discoverability.
The characters.
No, but I kind of use a lot of with continuity. Oh, yeah, that's continuity. Yeah,
I mean, also it's just write good stories. Like that's at the end of the day.
Well, yeah,
that's continuity.
No, quality. Quality is different than continuity. Okay. You can have a lot of really crappy stories. I will give you that. Continuity.
I will give you that. Maybe I want to choke Nick sometimes. He's freaking goddamn good lord, man. Why are you so?
It's hard being right so often.
Yeah, that's kind of what I always boil it down to.
And Nick wouldn't know what that feels like.
Mm. Diversity. I don't mean the diversity in DEI. I mean like visibility, diversity, continuity, and like the problem.
So you want diversity in comics?
Just in genres, not the way they're doing it now. They're a little retarded now with that.
Oh man, like, what the job?
Like, how many friends you have in your real life that go, "Hey, I like this stuff," and they'll admit they like it, but they don't know where to start. How many people have that problem? They legit don't know where to start.
Imagine if you didn't know comics. Imagine if you didn't know comics, and you came to me, goes, "Jared, I want to read Batman." Okay,
so what here's what you got to
cut up.
What you're referring to is the mythical jumping on point. Like the like this is a problem that comics themselves have been trying to fix for like the past 20 years or so. And I think I mentioned on one of your 3 and 4 MSK, it's like I like Legion of Superheroes. I'd like to start and look up reading orders. It's so friggin' convoluted.
Dude,
like it's like the meme. It's like the meme you see on Facebook where it's like, I want to start with Batman.
Right.
You read this. I want to start with it's like a big complicated thing. I want to start Dragon Ball. Read volume 1.
Yeah, dude, I had the same problem with Blade and the Authority recently. Like, I like Blade, but I've only ever seen Blade through, like, movie stuff. You know, I've never seen, I got clips of Blade. I tried looking at where he first appears. He appears in, like, Tombs of Dracula, and I was like, okay, does this guy have any omnibuses? Do you have any
manga makes stories? It so simple. It's like, let's say Dragon Ball. You read Dragon Ball Z, and, like, sure, you're reading, like, 500 volumes, but at least it's a straight line.
Yeah, it's like the problem with it, and this is a problem I encounter a lot with comic book fans on Twitter, is that they're like, I hate when DC's constantly rebooting. Do you know why they're doing that? So again, I bring up the new 52 as a fantastic example of this. They rebooted the continuity, except for Batman and Green Lantern. And
makes sense.
Well, they shift the stuff around at Batman, not for the better, in my opinion.
Well, where I'm getting to is the fact that because they rebooted, because you didn't have to, assuming you didn't have to read anything whatsoever, massive uplift in sales, and a lot of people trace their getting onto comics, myself included, to the New 52.
That was a selling point,
I could read Superman 1, action number 1, and the premise was, pretend we never published this before.
I mean, like, if you want to go a little bit older, you want to know what my jumping on point of X-Men and Spider-Man were?
It was in action number 1 in 1939, because you're old.
1939.
I've been wanting to say this, but now that I can say this, fuck
Nick
you,
started,
Jared.
Nick started giant size X-Men number 1 because he's that old at this point.
No. What I'm saying is, let's go back 10 years earlier. My jumping on point for X-Men and Spider-Man was Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, the Ultimate line did for Marvel what the New 52 did for DC. Mm-hmm. And that was my first proper introduction to Spider-Man, to X-Men, were those comics. And I still hold those comics near, like, by the way, we need to cover those comics on Comics Watch, by the way.
Yes, which is, and to Nick's point, there was this rumor that DC is going to start their own essentially Ultimate Universe, and I'm like, that's the way to do it. Have a side universe where it's starting from fresh, and you can do new stories, new ideas, reinvent.
You want your Black Batman there. That's how you do it.
Yeah, and then what you do essentially,
and then you get no sales, and then you will be homeless, eating out of trash cans, Nick.
I mean, true, but this is all people want. It's like you want to have your crazy experimental universe. Do that, but keep mainline universe, the classic all that stuff.
I agree with that. The problem here with doing that, if DC ever did that, because they technically do that right now, DC Black Label, that technically is that. The problem is that contributes to oversaturation, though. Because most people would think, like, well, if you're going to do that story and make him good in this one, why can't he just be good in the main continuity? That's what most people would probably latch onto, which makes sense. Like, why would I go and buy Ultimate Spider-Man thinking, wait a minute, he's in another universe. Why can't we just make the main people this way good this way? Just go from here.
I honestly think if they did a new, like a new 52 style Superman, but like, you know, kind of like more Man of Steel, dark and gritty, and he was kind of conflicted about his universe, like trying to think like a 23-year-old Clark. He's just starting to work for the Daily Planet, which is an online, like, New York Times style newspaper. You know, they update everything. And he's trying to have all this like very cool kind of storylines. I think that would sell a lot of copies.
And Lois Lane starts dating General Zod because that's
Here's what you do is basically you had the thing is where she hates Clark but loves Superman, and then finally when she finds out she goes to Clark, and Jared, you're going to love what I'm about to say. Fuck you. You only care about me because I'm Superman. Fuck off.
And it's actually like a Black Label book, so they could say F off.
Jared would literally cut that out and like post it on his wall.
I would frame that. But my point is still there. Yeah. You could do that and have like a more mature, you could essentially do what the Snyderverse did, among other things.
Trash. Oh, sorry. I was coughing. Sorry.
you essentially do that. We try to modernize these characters and their sensibilities. People will jump onto that.
That's true. Yeah. I think the age old saying is true. You put out good stories, people will latch onto them.
If you build it, they will come, essentially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Transformers like universe has Spider-Man, that now with Duke.
The Energon universe with Duke and G.I. Joe and Transformers. Good God. Yeah.
They have to be on like
an Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, look at the current Ultimate Spider-Man is proof of that.
Yeah.
Everyone loves it. And it was kind of funny. Spider-Man is actually a great test case because people also have a crappy run to compare it to.
The only thing I'm scared of is they're going to find a way to fuck it up. That is the only thing I'm scared of.
That's what I always hope.
Here's the thing. It's Jonathan Hickman, and he doesn't F up stories that much.
It's not Jonathan Hickman. Editorial.
Jared said earlier that they don't even really do their editorial job. They check in what he's doing.
There are some writers at MSK that they legit do not edit because they don't want to piss them off, like Grant Morrison.
Hickman has been fucked over before. Look at his they couldn't stand the X-Men, like he did his X-Men run. X-Men was getting buzzed for the first time in like 20 years, and they screwed him over. Like, X-Men could have, like, been, like, his X-Men run was creating a lot of buzz. Like, holy crap, X-Men's good now.
It was,
and they fucked it, and then they started the Krakoa era, and X-Men is just in a very bad place right now.
They're on an orgy island. Mm-hmm. That's what they're on right now.
Sounds good. Sign me up. Ship me there. Have Nightcrawler teleport me there. You know, my non-Christian Nightcrawler.
Yeah, and when you want dessert, you can just hit up the lady who poops ice cream.
Good.
By the way, that literally exists. There is an X-Men mutant who poops ice cream.
Named Ice Cream.
Oh, by the way, Jared, it's just us now. You can't take me off the stream now too.
Oh, I can when you come onto my stream the next time. I can get payback.
Oh, I'm totally gonna pay for it later, but for now,
you are going to pay for it.
There are some things that are worth the price, brother.
Oh, you haven't. Let me put it this way, Nick. The wheels of vengeance are showing up just in time.
Worth it.
You say that now.
But yeah, what are some other runs that like you feel are kind of underdeserved?
underdeserved, or you mean not liked as much as they should be?
They deserve more likes.
Okay, well, probably Geoff Johns Justice League, obviously. I would have to say,
Emma Stone, you're so lucky you left the two people who actually know how to run a show
Yeah.
No. Also, because Jared said he only gets this man. He was like, "You want to do reviews of comics?" I was like, "Yeah, sure."
No, I get like, a lot of comics. It's just we're gonna be. I get like $300 of comics a month. So
you're insane. This guy. I told him what you do for DC. He's like, "Okay, I got a great variety." I'm like, "What you got?" He's like, "I got Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman." I was like, "Okay, man, that's great diversity there."
Green Lantern War Journal, both of which are freaking fantastic.
Do you like both theories for the Green Lantern or something like that? Okay. I heard good things. I bought Green Lantern up to number 4. But it was already number 4. I'll just wait for the trade when it comes out.
Yeah, later you might as well just wait. But
do you have these?
Yes, they do.
Okay. I'm going to read these. Do you want to review them?
Sure. I'm down.
Yeah. I usually do things one at a time because I want to dedicate time to each one first. Yeah. Okay. And I have the Nightwing one that just came out too. Issue 111.
I haven't
read. Aren't they ending the Tom King, Tom Taylor run or something?
Yeah, like, his run's going to end at.
Supposedly, they're going to end it with him marrying Batgirl. And Nick.
I knew there was a reason I didn't like the guy.
Yeah, this one we can probably review next year. We'll just put it in the shred bin.
We'll put it in the to shred bin.
Yeah, this one, I might give it to the black guy outside. He might sell it for crack. Right, Nick?
Just kill me, man.
He'll roll it up to like smoke something.
Do you have all two number 2?
I have 2. That one's good.
Okay. The last one is, I know Nick doesn't like her, but I had to get this just because. Angel Johnson's Power Rangers run. So it just started. Literally just started. So might as well get in edition number 1, as they say. Got to start from number 1. So let's see, Screechers first, and also Spider-Man, then Superman.
Screechers like the worst comic ever.
It really is bad.
That's arguably worst indie comic of 2024. Already making the list.
It really is. It really is.
It's worse than that Emilia Clarke superhero book where she Spider-Man web swings with her armpit hair. Yes, that is a real book.
I'll say this art. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed
I gotta say, great. Jason Aaron is actually one of those writers where he came to DC and I'm like, you're not doing half a bad job.
Yeah, this art's kind of creepy. But there was no good incentive variants for this. All the incentive variants also were ugly. That's a problem with variant covers. Like for issue 1, you have retailer variants, exclusive retailer variants, fucking every variant. Then issue 2, you have 2 variants. What the
Well, it's because issue 1 is always the collectible one, and that's why.
Plus, it's Jason Aaron's first time on Superman, so it's kind of important.
It's all, fucking hell, the variant covers. You guessing variant covers are a problem or no? I don't ever think there's an issue with them. I think people just overreact to them. It's not that bad.
I think the problem is, there's two, people don't mind when you have, a comic with, 1 or 2 different variant covers. But when you have a comic that has 5 different variant covers, it gets to be a bit too much. And when every comic has 5 variant covers, it's because you gotta realize a lot of people are completionists. They want to collect every version. Mm-hmm. And when it's I gotta collect 5 comics of the same issue. Mm-hmm. Let's say they're doing an event where it's 4 issues a month, and there's 5 variants for each one. That's 20 comics. Of essentially 4 books. People get tired of that real quick.
Yeah, and you're only essentially just buying the same book, which is different cover art. That's really all it is.
And a lot of the times, they give subpar artists that job. So all of a sudden, you're okay, Jim Lee variant cover, nice.
Nice.
some no-name from Tumblr. What?
Yeah, it's like you go in a comic shop and it'll be all right, can I have the Jim Lee variant? Oh, sorry, we're out. But we have the fluffy fucker 2000.
We have Jim Lee variant covers at home.
Yeah.
But we have fluffy star fucker 2000s cover.
Hey man, XX Pussy Destroyer knows how to sell his variant covers. Just saying. I heard those were flying off the shelves. We checked the Ultimate Spider-Man number 1. How many covers it got outside of the main cover? It got 32 covers. Not the ones that count as refunds.
The hell?
Too. Yeah, 32 covers. That's ridiculous.
Did you guys know that Marvel's current Blood Hunt event is going to be 42 issues?
I thought it was going to be 28. It's going to be 42 issues?
No.
I'm going to get
42!
I'll say I love vampires. I'm definitely going to get it. But if I continue this on my pull list, that's going to be the question of the how time goes. Just saying, if this is not interesting, I'm dropping that shit.
You wonder why
that's also kind of like another thing is in the 2010s, they have an oversaturation of events. It's every week they're doing some sort of event.
Yeah, they still have it.
Basically, we're pulling every collector string they could, and people just got tired of it.
Yeah, here's the thing. DC just wrapped up an event. They're like, absolute power!
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Marvel has like four of them. You have like this thing going on with Wolverine Sabretooth. There's Gang War, right? Like, what the fuck? There's like three different wars? Like, what is that? There's two events at the same time?
The DC universe is such a warlike place. People wonder why most of my poll list is just DC and Image.
Hey, Jared, what was that one event where they had to release like an infographic to tell people like what to buy in what order? Like, I remember we talked about
Night
this, like,
Terrors.
Isn't that Gotham War?
Right. Oh, it was Night Terrors.
I wasn't buying into that scheme. I knew that was going to be some shit.
There was like 20 per issue.
See, I miss the way they used to do events where it's like you had your main streamline of books like Crisis on Infinite Earths, Civil War, and you had like the side books. We're like, what is Wolverine doing Civil War? It's like, you didn't have to read it, but you could, and it's cool. Like, it didn't tie into the story, but it was like, it tied into it, but it wasn't, you didn't have to read it. And I miss those, because those weren't essential. You could just read, like, Civil War 1 through whatever, Crisis 1 through 12, and be fine. But, like, if you wanted to see what the Teen Titans were doing during the Crisis, you could.
Yeah, dude, it's one of those things where all these events just tire people out. Like, big events are supposed to be, like, special things that you lead up to. If you keep constantly having big events, like, why should people care? Like, I don't get it. We're just getting out of, like, Sabretooth War. There's Gang War. Now there's going to be Blood Hunt. And it's like, fucking hell, how many big events we have to fucking go through constantly?
We got a fan.
Hey, what's up?
Jared. I keep Jared in the cage. I have to lock him up usually.
We throw him
pages of George Perez's Wonder Woman every now and then to keep him entertained.
Yes. I wouldn't give that to anybody under my worst days, actually.
Hey, I enjoyed that run, sir.
Did you get Ghost Machine? Did you say you bought Image Comics?
I did.
Did you like it?
Yes, so much so that I added all their books to my
pool. No, hold on.
You're really sucking up, bro.
You did add Hornsby and Halo to your pool list. No way you did.
What?
Hornsby and Halo, the little kid story? No way you had that. That was
the
trash.
Ones I added. Yeah. Red Coat. I already had Geiger on my list.
And, that's one I added too. Yeah.
And the book Rook at Exodus, because I love Jason Fabok's art.
That was good. Yeah.
That's it. I didn't add all of them. I just add the ones I was interested in.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I wanted to ask you, which was, do you think these companies should do more of that book? Because basically what Ghost Machine number one is, it just functions like a Shonen Jump book, where it's just a collage anthology of like a lot of the manga. If they did that more, they could find out which characters are people actually interested in putting on their pull list. Because
Marvel used to do that. Like Marvel.
Yeah. They told me that. Yeah.
They need to bring that concept back. And honestly, if indies did more of that, I think we could see a lot more success.
Like, I think that was such a cool concept that they brought for Ghost Machine number one, because, like, just to be honest here, a lot of those in Ghost Machine number one are not going to be selling. Like, some of those are going to be definitely dying off, especially the Hornsby Halo. That one's garbage.
I got
like, no one's going to buy that.
Though, I'm going to make a prediction right now of which ones are going to last. It's Geiger, Rook Exodus, and maybe Redcoat. That all the ones that are in Geoff Johns' universe. Because here's
you don't
thing.
Think the Rockefeller ones would survive?
Maybe it's just I don't think Tomasi as a writer is a draw anymore. I think
Tomasi was never a draw. I do not like Tomasi.
Well, yeah, because he ruins books. He hops on and
he ruined Nightwing. Like the original run of Nightwing, he was on it for the tail end. Oh my god, was that terrible! I remember reading that. Like he did two different volumes of Nightwing and to end the run. And oh God, was it bad?
Yeah. And then you also have like, and I call Tomasi now the modern day Dan Jurgens, in that both of them are extremely overhyped.
Because Dan Jurgens on the book, I guess he's fighting Doomsday again.
That's exactly my point. Because if you look,
I have heard you say it before.
Yeah, but I haven't said it on this show. I call Dan Jurgens a one-trick pony because whenever he MSK, whenever Dan Jurgens writes a Superman book, you can play a bingo game with it. Does he mention Doomsday? Does he mention? Does he reference the time Superman died in any way? Does he have someone show up? Does he show the black suit? Does he show the Eradicator? In some way, he will reference the death of Superman because that's the only storyline of note that people think of when they think of
Dan Jurgens' entire career can be summed up in, hey guys, remember when I wrote Death of Superman? Please remember.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Oh, Lord. No, that other series you're talking about, Rook, that is a cool concept for a book. You can sign me up for that. I will be buying that. That
post-apocalypse that and needed, thing,
that just needed more story. Like, the problem with that anthology book overall is that they should have took out the last two. I thought High Three story.
When I was reading the Rook part of the anthology, I was like, I want more of this. Give me more. Give me more pages.
Five pages. You're like, you'll like it. And I'm like, okay, I guess.
Speaking of five pages, you know what DC did? Remember when they were essentially releasing the Trinity special?
I remember that. Yeah.
You know what that actually is? They reprinted all the backups of Trinity being raised with John and Damian. And the only new story is the one where Trinity punches her mother. And then it flashes back to Wonder Woman punching her mother during the contest. That's it. So essentially you're paying like, let's say $10 for five pages.
I want to show you guys this. And I know it's Batman oversaturation. So don't kill the messenger, Nick. Good Lord, Nick. Why you always got to do that to me?
He always does. He always does.
Because I like being right.
So there's like, okay, with this one added, there's going to be about 15 Batman-ish stories. So like there's the main Batman ones. I always consider characters adjacent to Batman, part of Batman, like Catwoman, Nightwing, Penguin, Poison Ivy. That's Batman adjacent, right?
Yeah, it is.
They just had the Batman Knight number one that I did buy, DC Black Label. Then you have this. This is coming out at the end of the month, Batman Dark Age number one. It's like...
because Batman sells, that's why.
Who's it written by? Writer Mark Russell, Michael Alfred, Laura Alfred, colorist. Yeah, like, what's this supposed to be? Like, I was like, I don't even know if I want to keep this on my pull list to even get it when it comes to the day. I'm like, why do I need another Batman story in this? Like, some futuristic version of Gotham? Like, what? I don't know.
Here's what you got to understand about DC. Batman finances the entire company. There's a joke that if DC ever stopped publishing Batman, comic book stores would shut down. That's how much. And remember, actually, it was kind of funny. Remember, Black Label was supposed to be this big thing, and then Batman's penis leaked out, and everyone just freaked out.
The Batwing incident.
The Batwing happened.
Good Lord.
So you can like, say every part of Batman influences DC's decisions.
I was going to start going through Spawn. Even with Spawn, I know people like Spawn, but Spawn, if you wanted to get into Spawn just recently, there's like three titles for Spawn. There's Gunslinger Spawn, there's King Spawn, and then there's another version of what that is. You know how there's Batman, there's Detective Comics? That's that with Spawn.
There's Spawn. I think there's King Spawn, Scorched, and... regular Spawn. At least those are the three I have on my pull list.
Yeah. There's Spawn, King Spawn, and Ghost. What the fuck? Is the same? I bet you that's the same shit. There's no way
they cross over a lot. They cross over a lot.
Like, just imagine that if Nick was like, "Hey, his girlfriend was like, I'm gonna get into Spawn. All right, honey, what's the new stuff? Well, there's three different Spawn titles here. Which one do you start with? Doesn't matter." Don't know. Well,
to be fair, with Spawn, it's really easy. Just start with like the initial run. Spawn is a little bit easier,
which you can like find very cheap in compendium form. I mean, I have the first volume there that has like the first 50.
Well, the problem is a lot of these characters have existed for like 30, 40, 50, or even close to 100 years. Mm-hmm. You know, like Superman, Batman's case, and it's really hard to find a good jumping on point. Like Spawn, it's easy because you know Spawn number one. Because like the Spawn you get number one may not be exactly like he is now, but it's close enough. But for stuff like, let's say, and Spider-Man, like Spider-Man 2, like a lot of the Marvel characters, because they're created in the 60s, it's a little bit easier. But like a lot of, like, for example, Legion of Superheroes, there's so many different runs.
Justice League, there's so many different ones. Exactly.
Like, what are you going to go back to 1955 to start reading Justice League?
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. The reason why Spawn is relative to Sans is because McFarlane is very protective of his baby.
I can't blame him on that one. Right. I'm going to give him that. Yeah. You know how these companies will get, man. Like, have you thought of Image Comics as like Warner Brothers to a certain extent, even though DC is under Warner Brothers, because they're like the creator-owned thing. You know, Warner Brothers is always talking about, we're the creator-owned, we're the director.
No, they're not. Warner Brothers is not the movie studio for directors. They're the opposite.
I mean, maybe they were at one point, but not anymore.
Good Lord. When they kicked Zack Snyder to the curb, canceled Batgirl, canceled a Coyote Acme movie, when they were done and about to be released, I'm sorry, how do you expect a creative to want to work for your company?
In my opinion, the only two major studios that had their shit together are Universal and Paramount.
The only other studio...
Definitely Universal. Universal has been killing it.
The only other studio that I can think of that even lets directors kind of probably do what they want, it's kind of speculation here, because these movies are weird as fuck, is A24.
That's more of like a mid-budget kind of studio.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about like the major studios. Because we're going like the mid-budget realm. There's people like Legendary.
Lionsgate. Yeah.
Lionsgate is touch and go, really.
Yeah, I wish they were better, man. I really do feel like they could have like way better stuff going on for them. But
I feel like Lionsgate is basically just modern day New Line.
Why are you so mean?
I mean that in a good way, because New Line was the studio where you went to if you wanted to take a chance. Because without New Line, we would not have had Lord of the Rings. New Line in the 90s and the 2000s was on fire in a good way. And I think Lionsgate and Legendary Pictures are basically the inheritors of that crown.
What else has been coming out recently for comic books? There's so much stuff. There are people out talking like, what can you do is save comics? I don't think any one person can save comics. There's just no way, honestly.
Yeah,
there's
no one solution,
Not even close, because no one can even agree on a solution. Like, no one can... Like, people were like... We were on Twitter a few days ago. People were like, what if we eliminate the floppy format? Then everyone was like, no, we gotta keep it. It's like, okay, so we can't...
Yeah, here's a problem. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes back to my argument about against the price stuff. Like, yes, the trades are where the money is right now. That is true. But, like, floppies are still important, because, like, if we're all just writing trades, floppies are your introduction. You know, like, people will be like, oh, I'll pick up issue one for $6. So, like, be like, okay, so here's a full run for $30. And then here's issue one for $6. They'll pick up issue one, try it, and then if they like it, they'll pick up the trade.
But here's the problem. You have writers like He Who Must Not Be Named, but name ends with Bendis, that writes for the trades. In other words, they'll have like significant times where like nothing happens because he knows, oh, it's just going to be collected in a trade.
Well, the other thing about floppies is they were designed to come out on a regular basis. And this is kind of where, like, and I'm going to cast myself in the same net where indies are the problem. And I'm casting myself. I'm part of this problem.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's part of the problem. What? You're the problem.
It's called
Nick.
Self-accountability, bitch. is where you have these creators, they write floppies, but it's like a year, 2 years between their floppies because maybe it's all they can afford to do. That's my thing. And if I was releasing, let's say, Streaker in like issues 1 through 4 month to month, it would be great. But because there's like a year in between these issues, it's kind of a problem. And I'm fully admitting I am part of that. Like, so yeah.
Well, the other problem is that on the indie side is that then you have creators that start a campaign and then 3 years later still haven't completed it. And here's the problem, because
one of the indie books that I backed in 2021, and it hasn't been fully drawn yet.
Oh, you mean like a creator who sounds similar to TDX?
No, it's not EVS. It's not EVS.
Because if it was him, it wouldn't be too far out of the
realm. I got my stuff from EVS.
Good lord.
2 years later. About Eric July, he keeps to a deadline.
Yeah. Hey, it's crazy, man, how people be like, oh my god, these people have... Yes, the comic industry guys have deadlines. In school, they teach you about deadlines. Artists are just like weird people, dude. Artists are fucking weird, man.
See, like the obsession with like her teeth, like, oh my god, Eric July uses 3D background. Like, oh, okay, they still look fine. And you know what? I'd rather he use 3D backgrounds and get his book out on time.
And by the way, according, I was watching a live stream like the other day. I forget whose it was, but they said, if you think that Eric July is the only artist to use 3D assets, you are just naive. They all do.
Like, personally, I have no interest in Eric July's books. I've made that, like, yeah. But I still respect the hell out of the dude. You know, like, I'll
be picking up Yaira. I skipped Alpha Core, but I'll be picking up Yaira.
Yaira's actually the one I'm interested in.
Yaira's a white girl with big titties and a fat ass. I'm pretty sure that's why Jared's picking it up. He's not picking it up.
I mean, look at how, like,
July's Wonder Woman.
Saturday Night Live had their highest rated segment in like 10 years because Sydney Sweeney came on.
Sydney Sweeney has nice assets to her. She's got some two juggernauts. She's
got two of them for
sure. Yep. Her head's up here. You know, I'm.
See, the biggest crime of Madam Web.
I miss you,
Web
MSK.
Is you have Sydney Sweeney and you rest God, her man. Down.
Ugh, God, man. Like, you know, everyone's being like, Sydney Sweeney's tits are huge. And I'm like, yeah, guys, her face is up here. All everyone's just looking at her tits. Okay, I guess. As real women always prevail. I'll always say that. But I'm going to try and put some Spawn stuff in my collection. When I get paid, I'll get it. Gunslinger Spawn just looks cool as fuck.
Like, it does look really good. It's Cowboy Spawn.
Yeah, that character's actually old. I think he's at least dates back to the 90s.
Did you ever... I don't know if you guys like Westerns, but I'm going to get Mike Barron's Bronze Star
comic. Oh, we've interviewed Mike Barron. He's a
cool
guy.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I have it too. Yeah, awesome guy. Yeah, what a... Really he's the guy where he is too old. That man is 75. That man has been around
really?
For a lot of stuff. He's 75, yeah.
He does not look it.
He does not look it at all.
I was like, you know what
pagers
are?
He looked like he was in his 50s, honestly. I pegged him for like 54 or something. And I hope Mike Barron sees this so he can smile like a bastard.
God. Ask Mike, like, hey, you see black guys around? Do you like kind of run, you know?
No, I just, you know, it's whatever because black people are people and it's whatever.
Black people are people? Oh, no. Like Miles Morales with Miles Morales, right? Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no. He said they're definitely not Spider-Man.
Oh no,
MSK, I knew the bait you were setting out.
I was not doing that. I would never bait you up to clip it out to put on a YouTube short. I would never.
Yeah, there's no way he's never done that before. No, he's
never
way.
Done that. I let people hang themselves by their own words. I just kind of nudged them.
I saw the news you put out, be like, "Ooh, hey, this I need to hang out."
Oh God. Oh, Lord. But no, what you said is true, because Professor Hayteen brought this up, too. The editors of Marvel are just not good.
Nope. And it's like, and it's kind of funny, a lot of the crappy stories that we hear, it's not like proposed by a writer. It's proposed by an editor saying, hey, write me a story about this. That's what it is. In fact, what's kind of funny, speaking of all new, all different Marvel, the reason why that all came at once is because the editors wanted to, like, I believe it was the editors, they just happened to, without, like, communicating, wanted to, like, swap out all the characters, and then they just happened to do it at the exact same time.
Well,
I'm like, that's why Marvel, that's why I'm more of a DC fan.
I want things. I can feel this for. I love comic books. I love reading them. I love buying them. I love reviewing them. But I would like to, if the medium survived, you know, I like to like have it be around because I enjoy it a lot.
I would like to be able to go to the comic book store.
Yeah, I like to actually spend my money on things I actually enjoy. And it's like people who just, it's like the whole bad movie thing, you know, we talked about a long time ago too on the show. It's like, you know, enough bad comics will make sure people don't buy that shit. You put enough bad runs or something, people are not going to be buying that stuff. Like,
yeah, look at what's happening in the movie industry. It's like,
yeah,
they put out enough crappy movies, and now the chickens are coming down to roost. All of a sudden, people are like, wait, maybe we should put big boobs in there. And like, and it's also like the Sweet Baby Ink stuff is also an indicator with the video game industry. God, I've been following the Sweet Baby Ink story. Like it's so great.
I've been following it too. It's been.
Yeah.
Gamergate 2 Electric Boogaloo is upon us.
Yeah. The other thing is that, let's say the comic book, like direct, let's say floppies flopped, if you will, if they stopped doing that. You know
Jared,
what
the stores are going to do? I respect it.
I was interviewing a buddy of mine to promote his book. I'm trying to pull up what
here comes the flex.
The point is, what he says is that his LCS it doesn't sell Funko Pops or the new stuff. It's all back issues, and they're doing great. That's the other thing. I get the feeling that because more and more stores are saying, we're not taking new comics, we're just going. Plus, then you have situations where you have a comic book store owner that's pointing out these issues, and then comic book professionals on Twitter make fun of him. And I'm like, he's your first customer. You cannot do that.
When a comic book shop owner says, I literally cannot sell your shit, the first thing you should do should not be to mock him.
That was disgusting. And people, what's crazy about people in the comic book industry in general is they just forget stuff so quick. That just happened like a month ago.
Screenshots. They'll never.
To be fair, that's like everything. Like the memory of a person. Yeah. Even like, and we're victims of this too. So let's not pretend we're better. Like
I'm better than everyone. I'm way better. Oh wait, yeah. Well, that's a you thing there, Nick.
I'm way better, Nick. Come on.
Well, fine. I'll be the one humble person and admit my fault.
Yeah, you be the one humble person.
Oh sure.
Fuck all y'all.
Imagine this, we put that in context. I'll just be the horrible person for everyone. Okay, all right, Nick. That's the hill you're dying on. Good job.
Yep, all right, cool.
I mean, I gotta die sometime, I guess.
Just die with your balls intact. Please do that.
No, I'm gonna die in Jared's arms tonight because it must have been something I said.
Jared, move away. Move out of your house right now.
Run!
I just died in Jared's arms tonight.
Run fast.
I'll just drop you.
Something I said.
Change your IP address, too.
Oh Lord,
he's gonna need a VPN.
I think you talked about this with me one of your one-on-one episodes, which was like, I think we mentioned it, which was, if the person that's buying the material says they can't sell it, if a comic book shop owner's opinion doesn't matter to people, because our opinions would not, like, matter. We're plebs, right? We're just fucking like random nobodies, right? But if someone who's ordering the product opinion doesn't matter, what are we? We're screwed. The whole thing is screwed. That's bad. That's bad.
That's why a lot of those creatives shut up instantly, because they get the feeling this is the one time editorial stepped in and told, like, Donny Cates, you need to shut up.
Yeah.
If there's one person we cannot piss off, it's comic book shop owners. Because you know what they could do? They could organize boycotts and saying, we're not buying anything but from this writer.
Like, here's the thing. Like, have you ever walked into a comic book store in the last 10 years? Like, I'm sorry to all the comic book owners, but all they do is complain about how either Marvel, DC, or Diamond is fucking them over. It's every week.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, that's all they. I was kind of getting a little upset there. Like, that's all they seem to talk about. They're constantly talking about how, oh, Diamond fucked me over this week. Yep. Marvel fucked me over. DC fucked me over. Like, if I wanted this rare variant that I knew would sell, I had to buy five Ms. Marvels or some shit. You know, Disney did the same thing with the toys. You know, like, they're constantly getting fucked over, and eventually something's going to have to give. Like, that's why we've been having all these comic book shops close in the last year or so. Like, comic book shops that weathered the pandemic, now they're closing. Pandemic didn't kill them. Disney did.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I really can't blame them either. It's like, the only thing that I can blame them on is because we know how the stores work. I've had comic shop owner friends as my Facebook friends, and I've had Vion, who used to own a shop. They get previews of stuff before we all do because they have to pre-order them. Yeah, you guys know they have to pre-order stuff with distributors to make sure you have it on the day of. So they need to understand you can't buy all that stuff that's not going to, even if you're not going to get that one special variant cover, who cares? You can't be buying jackpot number one thinking that's going to sell for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, if you see all the preview stuff and you buy all that dog shit, I'm sorry. You need to be taught a lesson.
Well, to be fair,
keep that shit on your shelves.
Like I said, a lot of the times they're forced to.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the toy industry. Like you notice how, like, I think that they've actually proven where, like, if you want one Captain America, you right? had to buy, like, five Captain Marvels. You know, like, if you want, like, one figure that you know will sell, you have to buy, like, another three or four that are just going to sit on your shelf. And that's what's kind of been killing the toy industry. Like, that's why you go to Ollie's and it's basically the, you know, the toy section
Ollie's. It's the Rose Tico section.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah. Rose Tico, Captain Marvel, any of the Eternals.
Eternals. That's cute. That's Eternals.
MSK, you could say their brand is not Eternal.
They're not.
Which movie did they have the toys go on clearance before the movie came out? Like, was it
Shang-Chi?
Was it Star Wars or Ghostbusters?
Shang-Chi. I remember Shang-Chi was.
Before it came out, they were on clearance.
Yeah, I think one of the Star Wars movies it was like that, and I think maybe Ghostbusters 2016.
Probably the last. It was Obi-Wan. I remember the toys going on sale being on clearance. That was terrible. I remember Shang-Chi, Eternals, Obi-Wan. I remember the toys being there and no one bought them shit. Dude, every time I went into the Walmart, they stock them full to the to the front like this.
I mean, I was in an Ollie's like less than 6 months ago. They still had Eternals toys there. Still. Ollie's. Like, there was a bunch of Wakanda Forever. There was actually some, like, Last Jedi Rise of Skywalker toys still there.
Because no one wants that crap. Because no one wanted those movies.
Like,
who would have thought the movie where somehow Palpatine returned would be such a disaster? Who would have thought?
You know how earlier where you mentioned where, like, things are kind of like intrinsic, where one thing affects the other. With toys, it's even worse. Because if a new brand comes out and the brand of it, whatever, in the franchise sucks, like Star Wars, you're not selling Rey toys if Star Wars sucks. That's why Hasbro is going to do their own shit.
Look at what happened with The Mandalorian and Grogu. Like, they didn't realize that thing was going to be a hit. So when Grogu became, like, the hottest thing ever, like, there was no Grogu merchandise for, like, a year. It wasn't until, like, halfway through season two that they actually had proper Grogu dolls.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, I was saying, you guys might not be dead. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It's a joke. It's all jokes. It's that's the thing, though. Toys just have it bad, man. Like, no one buys Rave of toys, despite what people said. Or, you're racist. No, no one bought that shit. No one's interested.
They were crowdfunding her lightsaber, and they actually called it Rave's lightsaber, but they canceled it because here's the thing. If they had just labeled it as Inquisitor's lightsaber, it would have sold.
God, man. These people are ridiculous, man. They're, like, retarded. Like, I swear these people kind of want to go out of business.
Remember what Todd McFarlane said about girl toys?
Yeah. So here's what Todd McFarlane said. He was on a podcast talking about toys, and this was one of the greatest Todd McFarlane moments ever. So he was responding to, like, a question of would he ever consider having an all-female line of action figures? So he said, no, because I'm not going to saddle the store with that. And plus, here's the thing. He also brought up, all right, so imagine the story. Imagine you have a son, and he does really good in school. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to reward you. You know, you've been doing great. I'm going to buy you an action figure.
I love
it. So you go to the action figure aisle. You buy one, and you take one off the rack. You put it in there. And then the kid go, and then you present it to him. And the kid, you get him a girl figure. And then the kid goes, oh, thank you, mom and dad. But wait, so they didn't have any robots? Oh, yeah, they had loads of robots. You should have seen the pegs. They didn't have any, like, soldiers. Oh, you should have seen. It was for miles and miles and miles. And you got me the girl figure. And then Todd goes, now, I can't prove this, but at a certain point, serial killers begin at a certain spot.
And here's the thing about Todd McFarlane. The guy knows what the fuck he's talking about when it comes to toys. Like, his toys are the one toys that consistently sell. The guy knows what he's talking about. So if he says that, I believe him.
And here's the thing. There were people attacking him, and I'm like, do you sell toys? Do you own an action figure company and would have access to this information? No? Shut up.
Like, Todd McFarlane is a hell of a businessman. Like, mm-hmm. he knows what he's talking about. So,
I always say this to people, and it's crazy. Like, someone in the industry who lives through it day to day, well, people always ask, why don't these guys ever tell us what's going on? The moment that they do, it's always like, well, you're wrong. What the fuck? Holy shit, man. You can't even live through something for someone to tell you, yo, this didn't happen and it didn't work this way. So fucking cringe. Oh my God. What am I buying this week, actually? So what other titles? You said you buy Image. So you're getting Redcoat, Junkyard Red Joe, Coat. Geiger, and Rogue, right?
Yeah. And okay. Then I got G.I. Joe, Duke, Transformers, obviously, because those are astoundingly good, like ridiculously good. I definitely like how they are basically tying in G.I. Joe and Transformers together actually really well. I'm enjoying
Cobra Commander. Do you like that one?
I haven't checked out Cobra Commander right now. I'm just staying with Duke because I'm like, you know what? That's the one that interests me. And then obviously all the Spawn books I had last week because I'm getting kind of into Spawn.
You have too much extra money to be spending on this stuff. What is wrong with you?
I go monthly. That's it. And then I get a metric crap ton of trades.
Yeah, that might be my thing too. Like going forward with this year and next year, if an issue is already at like issue 5 and I have to buy each one, I might just wait for the trade. That's what I'm
probably because doing. You'll end up paying for the trade essentially accumulated when you buy 5 issues.
Remember, I had told you guys I don't have a comic shop around me, so paying the shipping and stuff like that. I rebought one book, but I realized Transformers Volume 1 is coming out with all 6 issues coming in May. I was like, I'll just buy issue 1, review it, because I already bought it before, I just can't find it. Mm-hmm. Do that, I'll just wait for the trade. That's it. Like, mm-hmm. But if I buy a trade and it's at issue 6 and the next book is like issue 8, I'll get the other 2 recent ones. That's not that bad. But if it's already like 5 issues in, no, just wait for trade. Mm-hmm. You save so much money.
Exactly.
What else is out here? I guess you guys want to get a... Who buys King Kong? There's so much oversaturation, man. Who buys King Kong comics?
I got the Justice League King Kong Godzilla crossover. It is fun as hell.
Would you ever buy solo King Kong titles, Jared?
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah, I would
Why
imagine.
Would I?
You know, I'll support black people.
It's because here's the thing. I'll see the movies, but... Mm-hmm. I don't get the lore, that there's a lot of deep lore for King Kong. I'm like, nah, I'm good.
You're talking about G.I. Joe, a real American hero, right?
Yes. Written by Larry Hama. It is fantastic.
Why are you having me add this to my pull list, Jared? Please stop.
I'm not requiring you to. I'm just saying you enjoy it.
I'm sorry. He's basically saying I need to add this. Crazy. I'm pretty sure this is going to be at the trades very soon. So many comments here. Holy mother fuck. All right, so this is going to be currently at 305 coming up this week. So might wait for the trade on this one. But I do want to get into this one, actually. Mm-hmm. And Nick, what you got coming up for you next, sir?
Well, trying to find ways to destroy his dear life, that's for sure.
All right, that's usually a good thing. Hey, we're starting off pretty good. All right.
Yeah, for sure. Got to annoy the fuck out of them. So that's not too hard.
And you succeed at that.
Yes, I'm very good at it. I'm working on Turn Samurai number 4. Looking like I'll be hitting Indiegogo up that on in May. Mm-hmm. Cover will be coming up here shortly. Hitting up a little tiny show at the end of this month. Then I'm kind of doing my live streams. Got the Friday Night Frenzy, Pokemon. And then tomorrow I'm doing the Ginger Cast. It's kind of like a one-off stream where we talk about redheads and whatnot. Got a lot of really cool people gathered for that one. That's going to be honestly pretty awesome. Jared's not invited because he's not a ginger. So,
but obviously. I identify as one.
See, that's how it works.
Yeah, I don't believe in that bullshit. Go back to Berkeley, bitch.
I thought you were nice.
Not on this stream.
Good Lord. Well, okay, so G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, Volume 1 trade comes out September 27th.
Really good, dude. It's really good.
You're making me really want to just buy all the issues. Because, like, wait, okay, September, right? We're in March? May, mm-hmm. June, July. 5 month gap. I could probably make up the time though. Like if I can make up the time in it to read and review. Fuck it. All right, Jared, I'll add issue number one. Yeah, I swear. If
it's there you go.
Trash. I'm choking you on the ground, like Homer Simpson does to Bart.
Attaboy.
Good lord. But I like how this is the thing. There's people out there that can make good comic books. You know, but the problem here is that's not the problem.
You have to find them.
Not only that, they don't want to do stuff for the big people because they get treated like shit. So they'd rather just make their own work. But then when you make your own stuff, that's a problem with that.
Evil cannot create, it can only corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like the thing with people, they don't understand when we talk about these things. It's like, yeah, it makes sense that you would want to hire a big name talent on a book. Makes sense, right? Well, the big name talent doesn't want to work for the big companies because of a lot of different factors and reasons. So they decide, we'll just go and do it ourselves. But then when you do something yourself, there's all the business aspects that comes to it. Because when you're doing art, you're writing for these companies, they're taking care of all that fulfillment stuff for you, everything. But if you're on your own, you do that by yourself. And it's like, oh, fuck. Why? At that point, is that even worth it? I don't know. Got to make that choice. Yeah. But as we all know, Man of Steel is the worst Superman movie ever made. The Squirrel Girl comics are better.
I mean, no, the worst superhero movie ever is Zack Snyder's Justice League. Pure trash.
Right, pure trash.
I mean, the original version.
The original
version that was directed by Joss Whedon was far superior.
Far superior quality.
And my favorite moment is when the Flash lands on Wonder Woman's chest. That is pure cinema right there.
Be prepared for the next week come on my channel, Nick.
Hey, what's said on MSK's stream stays on MSK's stream.
Nope. It's all recorded. All
right, Jared. I asked you something. Could you bought
the Wonder Woman issue? I'm packing you to YouTube right now.
You bought I did too. I bought a variant cover of Wonder Woman number one from Tom King. I bought the one where she's doing the crown thing. I thought that was the coolest one.
I got that one. I also got the Jim Lee one for $3. I got a bunch of the early variants.
Would you say to get this in a trade?
Because they're gonna get that in a trade soon. They're gonna get that in a trade soon.
No, I think it's coming out this month or next month. Do you think it's worth it to spend the money for?
I mean, if you're interested, yeah. I mean, if you want to press,
I'm not gonna slip my sure. Bob, if you wanted me to slip my throat,
if you want a very depressed Wonder Woman, sure.
Yeah, I don't think I'd buy this stuff. $20 is coming out in July. Yeah, no. Nah, I'm good. I'd rather just slit my throat. It's always better. Well, we're going to wrap it up here in a little bit because I'm going to go get dinner and take a nap before my Wednesday Top G show. So, well, I have to, you know, read Nick's book first and then I got to go get dinner. So, we'll start with Nick. You got anything planned coming up this week? White man?
Well, I'm going to be on this asshole MSK stream later tonight. He's got to pat my bottom and tell me how good Screecher is. So
who's this we?
You, me, and your mom.
Well, I'm black.
Well, okay, yeah, that's why I said not your dad. So,
all right.
I love Jared just like him smiling.
This always happens when I come on the show.
Lord, Jared's like, my MSK, God.
I warned you about putting Jared and me in the same room. I warned you.
That sounds kind of gay.
I mean, it is very gay.
Yeah, only on Tuesdays. It is Wednesday, so you got lucky there, actually. Maybe I'll just waste my money on Madam Web, Jared.
Jared, I want to take you to a comic store and buy you a comic.
Okay.
You're so lucky you can do that. I don't have that. I gotta go off eBay and buy all that bullshit. Like, the problem here going on eBay and buying books, it's not really just the shipping. The shipping's usually not that bad. It's more like if you want a variant cover, they charge like, you'd be charging like $25 for a variant cover.
It's
like,
a rip-off. It's a rip-off. Yeah.
And I get it. They have to make their money. I imagine a lot of their sales come from online, but I am not dropping $20 on a fucking... past 20, I'm not dropping. Valuing a floppy past $20. That floppy better bend me over and fuck me if I'm buying that shit. Good lord. Jared, what you got planned coming up this week, actually?
So, on Saturday, we're talking about... on Sunday, because I have to reschedule the movie night stream, but we're talking about Kick-Ass Part 2. And then also I'm talking about on Monday, I'm talking about the first volume of the Charles Soule Superman and Wonder Woman book. What one of the more enjoyable comic books. And let's see, tomorrow we're talking about our favorite, our comic book pet peeves.
Oh, okay. Get rid of Amanda Waller, please.
She's overused. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
My pet peeve is that Lois Lane does not get enough screen time. She deserves to take over the entire Superman line. She is the best character ever.
Oh, Lord. As you guys know, for me, we have Wednesday Top G's coming up with me and Professor Savage Dad. I have a new comic book series that I just finished recording the video before I did the show earlier today. There's another one coming up about that too. So it's going to be some interesting comic book content on here. It's crazy, man. I got to get paid and I got to get through some of my books. I'm not going to buy so much like I was before. That's ridiculous. But yeah, also, people, hey, I love this stuff. I really do. Mm-hmm. But man, do the people involved make it hard to like it. I even like some of the new stuff. Like, that's the thing, with some of the new stuff, it's not that even like it's woke or anything. It's just not good. Like, it's just uninteresting, bland trash.
Like, this is why every time I hear superhero fatigue, another kitten dies in heaven, because I swear superhero fatigue is a term used by hacks and people who don't think for themselves as a way to excuse their mistakes. Okay, there is no superhero fatigue. It's bad movies fatigue. Has there been a lot of really bad superhero movies? Yes, but just because there's a lot of bad superhero movies and they're not doing it, it does not mean superhero movies themselves who are getting tired of. Deadpool 3. I can use the list again. I'm sorry. That's a comic book pet peeve of mine.
Mine's the opposite of that. I think there is.
I'm preparing my screaming voice.
I think there is. I think you can make people tired of seeing something bad consistently in a genre. I think that
is. Yeah, but that's not a superhero fatigue. That's movies. Bad movie fatigue.
Yeah, but that kind of scapegoats it, though, to a certain extent.
No, so calling it superhero fatigue is the scapegoat. It's like, oh, it's. Sorry.
Are you dying?
Oh, it's not that my movie is bad. There's superhero fatigue. People are just tired of the genre. That's why Madam Web did so bad. It's because of superhero fatigue. It's not that it's because it's the worst movie ever. No, actually,
according to Becky G, Madam Web bombed because men don't like to see strong female action stars.
Well, Trini can go kiss my pasty white ass.
Wait, what the Ellen Ripley is she talking about?
To be fair, I remember Jennifer Lawrence was like, she was the first female action star. Hey, you know, we can't compete with that. I mean,
Sigourney Weaver. Okay, I got to do this bit.
Angelina Sigourney Jolie. Weaver,
so Sigourney Weaver owes so much to Jennifer Lawrence, because if Jennifer Lawrence did not make that speech in 2018, Ellen Ripley would not have been able to play, Sigourney Weaver would not have been able to play Ellen Ripley 30 years prior. In Alien, so like Sigourney Weaver literally owes her career for playing a character in a movie that came out probably before Jennifer Lawrence is even born. But thank God for Jennifer Lawrence for saying that in 2018, so Ellen Ripley could play it in 1978. Thank God.
Time travel,
dude. I love how people forgot the other main key thing she led on. She said, "We were told that men cannot identify with a female lead." And I heard that and I about damn near took a pen and shoved it into my earlobe. What the fuck? Who told you that? First of all, who told you that's a retarded idiot? And the fact that you would even repeat that on a live podcast you're on.
Here's what I love. It's like, oh, we don't want men here. Men, get away from our movies. And when stuff like the Marvels is failing, like, men, why aren't you showing up for our movies?
Oh, Lord.
It's with Ghostbusters. Like, the same thing fucking happened with Ghostbusters. Like, oh, you old Ghostbusters fan? Get out of here. We don't want you anymore. We're for the new fans. Like, wait, why didn't you show up, you racist, sexist, blah, blah, blah?
People were like, why didn't you show up to the movie? What if I just wasn't interested? Like, why don't they? Because, you know, people are really surface level, dude. They focus on, like, surface level stuff a lot. If you make a trailer somewhat interesting and they like the property, they'll go see it. I don't think it's
that. Like, look at what happened with Suicide Squad. Let's be honest, no one really had much interest in Suicide Squad until the Bohemian Rhapsody trailer came out. I'm part of a release haircut, but not many people, like, when that first trailer came out, it got crickets. But when the Bohemian Rhapsody trailer came out, that literally set the world on fire.
All right. Got plenty of comics to, read and review for you guys. Me and Jared, I told him we'll schedule a day where we can do the Action Comics stuff, 1 and 2, separately, obviously. We'll just do in one video, two different takes for two different videos. And then when 3 comes out, we'll do that one. Just let me know what else you got so I can just go through my stuff and see if I have it so we can review it. And we'll see you guys later. Have a great day, everybody. Peace. Good night.